Hello and welcome to the Reorg Europe podcast, your weekly roundup of the most interesting trends and developments in performing credit, stressed and distressed, restructuring and post-reorg in the European and CMEA markets. It's Tuesday, March 5th, and I'm Andrew Ross. Coming up this week, we're going to discuss French pharmaceutical solution and speciality chemicals producer Seekens, which caught the attention of investors after its loans fell to the low 80s. We'll then run through the key highlights from the primary market this past week. But first, we're going to delve into the English High Court's refusal to sanction German real estate company Aggregate's amended Part 26A restructuring plan. Joining me now is senior legal reporter Connor Lovell. Hi, Connor. There's been a lot more action in the courts this week, this time for Aggregate, the German real estate developer. So can you guide us through all the latest?
Hi, Andrew. Yes. So on Monday, the English High Court said it would not approve Aggregate's restructuring plan or even an amended version of it because it lacked the power to do so. Instead, the court made an order using a little used section of the Companies Act, Section 901(c)(4) to be precise, to convene fresh creditor meetings and exclude two classes of out-of-the-money subordinated creditors from voting on their new plan. This provision has only been used once before and never at a sanction hearing. So what was interesting is the judge said the hearing had started as a sanction hearing, as typical, but had ended up as a second convening hearing once he had decided that he lacked jurisdiction to approve the plan. So in terms of what's next, there will essentially be a rerun of the plan. The single class of secured creditors will vote on the plan again this week, and they're expected to vote in favour. And then there will be another more straightforward sanction hearing afterwards.
So why was the court unable to sanction the plan as it stood?
So this is the interesting part. Aggregate, along with McDermott, who we discussed last week, have been haunted to some extent by comments made in the landmark Court of Appeal judgment overturning Adler's restructuring plan back in January. The comments made by one judge essentially said that a Part 26A plan cannot be used to expropriate or confiscate the rights and property of out-of-the-money creditors and give them nothing in return. In other words, these creditors should get something as compensation, even if it is a very small figure. So strictly speaking, the principle is not binding precedent and it contradicted at least one earlier case. However, Aggregate took note because it was intending to do just that, to wipe out junior creditors and give them nothing in return. So even though creditors had already voted on Aggregate's plan, the company amended the proposal to grant a small recovery of well under 1% for the affected classes at a cost of about $200,000, I think it was. But by this point, it was already too late. The court agreed with the comments in Adler and found that the original proposal was not a, quote, compromise or arrangement, unquote, which is one of the threshold conditions for making an application to the court for Part 26A plan in the first place. Existing case law says that to be a compromise or arrangement, there must be an element of give and take between the debtor and his creditors. Monday's judgment clarifies that this must be present for every class of creditor and not just for those classes who stand to benefit under the plan. It was for these reasons that the court said that it did not have jurisdiction to approve either the original plan or the amended plan.
Thanks, Connor. Joining me now is Deputy Managing Editor Robert Schack. Hi, Rob. Seekens came to the attention of a lot of investors after the group's third quarter earnings miss sparked a 10-point drop in the loans to the low 80s. The group has now reported Q4 numbers and released its budget for 2024. Has the picture changed much?
Hi, Andrew. During Q3, Seekens was hit by multiple headwinds, which comprised problems at plants in both the US and Israel, a dispute with a client in Belgium that is going bust, as well as a sharp slide in prices for para-aminophenol, or PAP, as a result of competitors bringing a significant amount of supply back to the market. All of these issues will take time to remedy, so it was no surprise that fourth quarter results were weak as well. Adjusted EBITDA fell around 56% year over year to 25.6 million, and that figure was boosted by a 6.5 million insurance payment relating to the issues at one of the plants. Due to the second half being derailed by all these issues, full year 2023 EBITDA fell 25% to 158 million, which pushed up SFA adjusted net leverage to 5.4 times, although actual net leverage based on clean EBITDA is closer to 6 times.
And what is the outlook for 2024? Does Seekens expect earnings to recover?
Not yet. The group is budgeting another 11% fall in EBITDA to around 140 million in 2024. It expects continued weakness in the first half as the strong first and second quarters from last year roll off, which will push up SFA adjusted net leverage to around 8x by mid-year. Seekins expects some recovery in the second half, which should help it bring net leverage down to 6x again by year end. However, the budget is based on the expectation that PAP contributes around 30 million of EBITDA. This looks bullish given it implies earnings getting back to 2020 levels. That was a particularly strong year for PAP, partly due to COVID and partly due to a production outage at one of Seekins' main competitors. Both of these effects have now fully unwound. Management did note that higher raw material costs pressured PAP margins during the fourth quarter, but that prices have stabilized and volumes recovered in January to around 3.7 tons from around an average of 2.2 tons per month during the fourth quarter. It also noted that some Chinese competitors may need to stop production as a result of environmental issues. The budget also implies that Seekins' plant in Israel, which is part of the Wavelength division, will break even this year. However, that also looks potentially over-optimistic. The plant generated negative 11 million EBITDA in 2023. The group implemented a headcount reduction that should result in around 7 million of full-year run rate savings, but it will still need to recover further 4 million EBITDA to break even. The group could potentially outperform other parts of its budget, such as in its upstream life science and innovative and generic pharmaceuticals divisions. This could offset some of the potential shortfalls in PAP and Wavelengths. Even if it hits budget in full year 2024, it will likely take another 2 to 3 years before earnings get back to the normalized 160-170 million EBITDA level. And while the group would become cash flow generative again at those earnings, it will continue to burn cash in the meantime. But with 117 million of cash and 80 million available under its RCF facilities as of December 2023, and no major maturities until 2028, the group has plenty of runway to complete its turnaround.
Thanks, Rob. Looks like investors will need to be patient with this one. We are now joined by Leverage Finance reporter Beatrice Mervolian. Hi, Beatrice. Can you take us through the latest on the primary market this past week?
This week, UK luxury car manufacturer Aston Martin and French cable system specialist Nexans are marketing bonds for refinancing. Both of the notes priced last week from TUI and Forvia were upsized, reflecting strong investor demand. The Anglo-German travel company TUI priced an upsized 500 million euro offering of sustainability-linked senior notes for refinancing. Investor says that the company's performance has been strong. The group is well managed and it has recovered well since the pandemic. However, price discovery was quite difficult on this deal because of the absence of similarly rated credits in the leisure sector. There are a number of loans in the market, most of which are for refinancing. And there may be more loan issuers seeking to reprice their facilities over the coming weeks. One trend that's picking up is the refinancing of private debt in the syndicated market, which is set to continue as non-call periods of private debt borrowers expire, especially considering the tightening of margins that has taken place in the syndicated market. French insurance broker April is currently refinancing a private credit unitranche with a 1.2 billion euro syndicated term loan B. Demand for loans is also strong, amid few new money issuances, and some deals were upsized as investors rushed into them. Among these was petrol station forecourt operator Motor Fuel Group's Term Loan B, which saw pricing also tighten. Proceeds of that debt will support the company's acquisition of supermarket operator Morrison's forecourts. Investors highlighted that MFG is well managed. The deal provides the company with an opportunity to increase its focus on retail, which typically has higher margins than the fuel business. However, the transaction is releveraging and CapEx is increasing with the planned rollout of EV charging sites. A bond is expected to complete the MFG's debt package. However, this may take longer to prepare as the company will be a first-time issuer in the bond market. This week, ticket resale platform StubHub is marketing an amend and extend of its euro and dollar term loan Bs. Auto aftermarket platform First Brands is marketing incremental term loans for refinancing and an acquisition. And a fertility platform, Evirma, is marketing term loan Bs for refinancing.
More information on all the situations and events discussed in this podcast are available on our website, reorg.com. We hope you can join us next week for another Reorg Europe podcast. Until then, have a great week and thank you very much for listening.